Hello, this is Alonzo Bowden. Welcome to episode 103 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? I am recording live from Toronto. I'm in the midst of the Just for Laughs Roadshow, having a great time up here. The shows are going great, and that's it. So let me get right into it. Black Lives Matter. I would argue, no, they don't. They should, but they don't. As we all know by now, there's been another killing of an unarmed black man by a police officer, okay, in South Carolina. Walter Scott was shot by a police officer 8 times, and you've probably seen the video and so on and so forth. Now, this officer has been charged with murder, but being charged doesn't mean anything because there's a long way between being charged and being convicted. And it's, I'll tell you what prompted me doing this. There's a very dramatic cover of this week's Time magazine that says Black Lives Matter. And I bought it and I read the article, and it's a good article, and there's some good op-ed pieces afterwards, but do Black Lives Matter? I say no, they don't. I mean, okay, let's do a roll call. From February of 2012 to, what is this, April of 2015. So in the past 3 years, there have been 14 big cases, it's probably been more, but 14 big cases of unarmed black men being shot and or killed by police officers. The narrative is always the same. It's always the same. I felt my life was threatened. I was in danger of my life. In this latest one in South Carolina, they actually caught on video the cop trying to plant the taser as evidence. But let's just do, and this is so sad and horrible, but let's just do a quick roll call, okay? February 26, 2012 was when Trayvon Martin was killed. We all know that story with George Zimmerman, neighborhood watch guy, all right, pseudo law enforcement guy. February 9th, 2014, Ernest Satterwhite, 68 years old, shot and killed in his driveway by a white public safety officer. I don't even know what the hell that is. April 30th, 2014, Dontre Hamilton, unarmed 31-year-old African-American with a history of mental illness, shot in a downtown park. The officer who shot him, I'm sorry for laughing, but this is how ridiculous these stories are. Christopher Manny, the officer who fatally shot this man, said he shot him 14 times in self-defense. And this is why this new murder charge is a joke, because if you can shoot someone 14 times in self-defense and get away with it, do you really think they're going to convict a cop of murder? Moving on, July 17, 2014, Eric Garner. We all know that story. I can't breathe. Eric Garner choked to death by a cop. August 5th, 2014, John Crawford, 22 years old, shot and killed inside a Walmart for carrying an air rifle that's sold in the Walmart. Not only that, Ohio is an open carry state, you know, where you see those crazy people carrying automatic weapons into grocery stores to prove they're right. Yeah, so he was in an open carry state holding an air rifle sold in the Walmart. The cops rushed in and just shot him. If you saw that video, there wasn't a whole lot of stop or I'll shoot or put the gun down. It was like, there he is, open fire. Moving on, August 9th, 2014, we all know this case, Michael Brown. September 4th, 2014, LeVar Jones, shot multiple times by a 31-year-old white South Carolina state trooper. And don't think that a lot of these are, you know, South Carolina, that it means anything, because it's happening everywhere. But this was a case where the cop told the guy to get his license, and he reached for his license, and the cop shot him through the door of the car. Moving on, November 22nd, 2014, Tamir Rice, 12 years old, fatally shot and killed in a Cleveland park because he has a toy gun. Yeah, a 12-year-old kid with a toy gun, and the person who called the police said that it might be a toy. No matter. Kid was shot. December 2nd, 2014. Rumaine, Brisbane, 34 years old, shot and killed by Phoenix police officer. March 1st, 2015, LAPD shoot Charlie Landau, a homeless guy on Skid Row. March 6th, none of these guys are armed, by the way, who are being shot. March 6th, 2015, Nicholas Vincent, and forgive me for pronouncing that name wrong, but a 37-year-old unarmed black man shot in the chest and killed by Paul Giroux, the police officer in Aurora, Colorado. He had a criminal history, had a violent criminal history, but at the time, completely unarmed. March 6, 2015, 19-year-old biracial man shot by a white Madison, Wisconsin police officer for jumping in and out of traffic. March 9, 2015, Anthony Hill, black 27-year-old Air Force veteran, shot and killed in Georgia. And finally, April 4, 2015, Walter Scott, black man, shot and killed as he's running away from a police officer. Now, you're telling, and this is my favorite thing on the Walter Scott video, they keep saying it's a shocking video. Well, how is it shocking when, again, this is the 14th time in the past 3 years, which I think by most standards would be if somebody killed 14 people in 3 years, I think that would be a serial killer. I think there'd be a pattern. You know what I'm saying? I watch Law & Order SVU and I watch CSI on occasion, and I'm thinking 14 times in 3 years kind of shows a pattern. So this is why I say, let's stop pretending that it's shocking or that it's, you know, some, and this is why it will continue. Now they did op-eds in Time magazine, and it was very interesting. Some of the people who wrote pieces, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who said that African Americans watching these videos, it's like Alex in A Clockwork Orange. If you've seen the movie where he's forced to watch this insane violence over and over and over and over again. And he says that Scott's death illustrates the need to push harder for police reforms and oversight, et cetera, et cetera. Body cameras, I don't know where I stand on the body cameras. I think they might help, but I still think that they'll just alter the video or videos will disappear. But maybe body cameras will help. But anyway, that's what Kareem Abdul-Jabbar says about it. But here's the one, and this is why I believe this problem will not go away. This is why I believe this problem will not change. Former police commissioner Howard Saphir, okay, this is what he says, and I'm paraphrasing I'm taking parts. I'm not quoting the whole article. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you. But he says, the shooting in North Charleston, South Carolina is an enormous tragedy. The horrific videos now being shown around the world will do a great deal to hurt the image of police officers and police departments. See, you see, that's the problem. That's what he's worried about. He's worried about hurting the image of police. That's unbelievable. That is unbelievable. Now, let's say a black kid shot an unarmed white woman, okay, and it was on video and it was shown. At no point do I think they would say, you know, that video could really hurt the image of black kids or take any. I mean, that's unbelievable that's what he opens with, that this video will hurt the image of police. Unreal. He goes on to say, are our police departments brutal, racist, and out of control? By every objective measure, no, they're not. When we have these incidents, blah, 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 only 1% of encounters between police and citizens result in any use of force at all. But listen, that's not the point. The point is that they're police officers, and they should be held to a higher standard. Now, Does this reflect on all police officers? Yes, it does. It absolutely does. Because if you can't say that there's a pattern, when we have these shootings in California, Arizona, Ohio, South Carolina, New York, I mean, cities and states that have nothing in common. The only thing they have in common is this unbelievable straight out murder by police. And you're sitting up here and worried about the image of police being hurt. And well, only 1%, 1% is way too high. 1% is way too high. And the pattern of it, it's the same narrative. It's the same story over and over. Unarmed black man, superpower, super strength, scares not a 12-year-old. Did the 12-year-old really scare you to where two cops had to unload their guns into him? Were they that scared of a 12-year-old boy with a toy gun? No, this is not unusual. This is not rare. This is not the outlier. This is the norm. This, how much more proof do you need? How many more shootings and killings and chokings and whatever else do you need before you say, hey, there's a pattern here? So I am really sorry, Mr. Safir, but this is not about hurting the image of police departments. That is unbelievable. That is unbelievable. 26 years ago, Do the Right Thing came out, the movie. And Chuck D was rapping Fight the Power. And now, 26 years later, on my friend Marcus Miller, yeah, I'm promoting my friend's album. Marcus Miller has an album out called Aphrodisia. And on the record, Chuck D is rapping I Can't Breathe. Okay, that's the progress we've made in 26 years. From Fight the Power to I Can't Breathe. I've said it before, I'll say it again, and I'll say it again and again. Nothing changes if nothing changes. The police departments are racist organizations. I'm sorry, racism runs rampant in police departments. It is looked on with a wink and a nod as these cops continually kill unarmed black people and get away with it with a wink. You know, they get away with it. And am I biased in being a black man? Yeah, of course, because the gun has been pointed at me. Okay, so don't tell me anything about this isn't, you know, blah. Yeah, am I biased? Yeah, definitely. Definitely. You know why? Because the gun has been pointed at me, because I have a nephew and I have friends, sons who are right in that, I mean, the heart of that wheelhouse, being black men between 20 and 35. And the police shoot first, ask questions later, clean it up afterwards. That is that's the reality. Now, I'm going to move on, as it's the only other thing, a couple other things I want to talk about. The only other thing I really want to talk about, Hillary Clinton has announced her candidacy for the presidency. I support Hillary Clinton. Is Hillary Clinton perfect? No, far from it. In some ways, too conservative. There's a lot about her we don't know. I wish she had a more dynamic personality. That would help so much. But I support Hillary Clinton. And here's where I see the problem with Hillary Clinton's candidacy. Not the Republicans, because we know the Republicans are going to hate her. Okay, I've said it before, I say it again. I don't know who to attribute the quote to, but this is the point where 10 million racists will turn into 10 million sexists. Bill O'Reilly has already started it, saying that Hillary Clinton's campaign will be helped by the attack on the white Christian white male. Once again, Bill, you're under attack. There's a war on the Christian white male. And I could see where you're suffering, Bill. Christian white males only run the House of Representatives, the Senate, the Supreme Court, banking, Wall Street, real estate, law enforcement. What the hell else? Oh, cable news. Yeah, Fox News, you're number one. So you also control the media. But you guys are suffering. It's a war, and Hillary Clinton will attack you. So they're so scared. But that's not the problem for Hillary Clinton. I see the problem for Hillary Clinton, the lack of support amongst Democrats. You already have a whole Democratic movement supporting Elizabeth Warren, who, by the way, isn't running for president. She isn't running for president. Why are Democrats not supporting Hillary Clinton and supporting Elizabeth Warren when Elizabeth Warren isn't running for president? This is why Al Gore lost. This is why Al Gore lost, because they didn't partner with Bill Clinton the Gore candidacy didn't partner with Bill Clinton and have a unified Democratic Party. No, the candidate's not perfect. No candidate's going to give you everything you want, but you get behind him. You get behind him and you support him. They actually, there was an article printing, they were surprised that Barack Obama supports Hillary Clinton. Why would that be a surprise? Why would Barack Obama not support Hillary Clinton? She was his Secretary of State. They've worked together. They know each other. And she's the leading Democratic candidate. He's the leading Democrat. It is unbelievable. I don't know. I hope she wins. I wish her luck. I support her. But, you know, this is the way it goes. Now, Rubio announced his candidacy. I don't know where that's going to go. Rand Paul is just, I thought Ted Cruz was going to be the funny one, but I don't know, because the slogan is stand with Rand. And I guess if you stand with Rand, you should probably be standing on roller skates or something so you can move back and forth, because, you know, every issue in foreign policy, so far he's taken both sides of the issue. I guess that's a safe way to go. You know, it started out, he challenged Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz regarding Iran. He said to him, are you ready to send ground troops to Iran? Are you ready to bomb them? Are you ready to you know, blah, blah, blah. He said, I'm a big fan of trying a diplomatic option as long as we can. I will vote to resume sanctions. I would vote for new sanctions. 2 months later, he signed that letter that went to the Iranians saying, you know, ignore the diplomatic options being offered by Barack Obama. The, you know, when it, regarding Israel, he had a budget in 2011 when he was first elected to the Senate. It zeroed out all foreign aid. Rand Paul was known for saying we're not helping other countries. He zeroed out all foreign aid to all countries, including Israel. And he said Israel's ability, he said that the money we give Israel undermines Israel's ability to conduct foreign policy. And then after he got yelled at, he revised the budget, freezing foreign aid at current levels. And now he's saying that he never proposed any legislation to target Israeli aid at all. He was also stay out of the bedroom, you know, gay marriage is not an issue. Now gay marriage is immoral. So Rand Paul is obviously going to go whichever way the wind blows, which is part of being a politician. So I can't fault him for that. But that's what's going on with that. It's the playoffs. NBA playoffs begin this weekend. And as you know, I'm a Clipper fan, and I'm here to say go Clippers. And you know what's fantastic? A year ago this time, we were talking about Donald Sterling, the owner of the Clippers, saying he didn't want black people at his games. And you know what? He is now banned from our games. Yeah, that's how that works. The road show continues. I will be on tour through Canada through April 27th. Again, I'm having a great time. Canada, thanks for warming up and thawing out for me. I love it here. I also happen to love the fact that social issues, you know, healthcare, healthcare did not bring an end to the Canadian government. At no point did the Canadian government invoke Jesus in the argument on healthcare. Somebody proposed national healthcare, and they said, well, people get sick. Gay marriage, again, I've said it before, I'll say it again. The gay marriage debate in Canada was probably the quickest debate you've ever heard. It was simply, well, gays want to get married. Okay, it's cold out. Read another interesting article in Time magazine about legalization of marijuana and people trying to go for, basically, they're looking at big marijuana. They're looking at nationwide chains of marijuana stores and corporate labeling and so on. And the problem they have now is the states that have legalized or have medical marijuana, each state has its own regulations, and the federal government hasn't approved or legalized it yet. But I've said it before and I'll say it again. They're only figuring out how they're going to divide up the money between, I don't know, maybe tobacco corporations, liquor corporations, other corporations. Once they figure it out, marijuana will be legalized everywhere. And you could get, you know what would be great? You could get your weed and your munchies at 7-Eleven. See, that's what makes America great. One-stop shopping. Get your weed, get your munchies at 7-Eleven. God bless you. This is Alonzo Bowden asking who's paying attention, thanking you for paying attention, and I'm giving you a heads up. May 8th at the Vic Theater in Chicago, I will be recording my next comedy one-hour special. If you're anywhere in the Chicago area, I'd love for you to come down. Just go to my website, alonzobowden.com. Look for the link to get your tickets, and I'll see you at the Vic Theater. Thank you.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.